Thank you. Larry Free, Treasurer's Office. Is that loud enough? No? Good.
We vote, sir.
Okay. Open your mouth.
Yeah. I have my voice back, though. Okay, good. This is on Clark County owned properties, and last April 30th, we had our first presentation on this, and of that, we went through our goals. We have four goals. One was debt-related, which we covered. Then the listing of properties we rent, lease, and then the listing of leased out properties and such. Now, finally, we also touched on our fourth goal, to find underutilized and undervalued county property owned and propose a better use. Again, we have our assumptions. Some county-owned properties will be held, will yield a better use if it's utilized differently. Some properties are restricted. And then, of course, the BOCC is interested in the use of county-owned properties with the potential for increased value compared to the current use. We have unrestricted county-owned real properties. This is what we're reviewing. It's not encumbered by debt and no grant or other restrictions.
Can you ask questions now or later? If you have a question, go ahead and ask it. Please.
Larry, I got a question on that last slide. If you can go back. There you go. So what we're looking at today, we won't be reviewing any properties in this presentation today that have mortgages or debt on them.
That is correct.
They've been removed.
Correct. It's only free and clear. Basically, the low-hanging fruit that we have in the county that we could utilize differently in a shorter time frame if we so desire.
Is there a plan to come back and review the property that is encumbered?
At this time, that's scheduled for later.
Okay, thank you.
That is not scheduled.
Correct.
Yes, sir.
Related to that, I can imagine that if we have some properties that have limitations on them, requirements that it's supposed to be used for a certain thing or you can't use it for something else, so we certainly that's more complicated. We'll need to keep that off the table. I'm looking forward to the time when we can include the properties that may have debt on them, but still that debt would be in a form that we could pay it off if we did sell the property.
Mm-hmm.
That would be, could actually be a higher priority than this if it ends up being a drain on the county because of the debt. It could be out from under that.
Okay.
Well, I would assume those properties that we still owe debt on are something like this building here, golf course. What other ones do
Center,
we have?
Center for Community Health.
Yes.
The exhibition hall out at the fairgrounds.
Oh.
Yeah, I knew that. I was wondering what other ones we still have debt on.
Yeah. Pepsi building, or we're still paying on
the
Pepsi?
Can't be that many, is there?
Well, we
actually, I should have brought the list that we had from the last meeting, because it listed out all those properties.
Okay.
By bond issue.
So how many from the Treasury Department, how many parcels of land do you oversee?
Well, right now, for the properties that we foreclosed on, we have 88 properties that are available for sale.
Okay.
And which go up for sale. This past sale, we had three that sold.
Aren't they? They're on a pattern for sale.
Yeah, they're continuously for sale.
So I'm hoping that we're going to come down to something that we've owned for a long time and haven't developed, or bought for right away and then did our business and then we're selling. Like for example, the one on 88th Street and 99th, Highway 99. I see that one's up for auction.
Yes.
We bought that for construction, and we have similar things like that on 119th, where we're starting that construction too. Those are kind of the ones that I'm looking for. I'm not looking for the ones that are in a track, of natural sale. We're looking for those that we've owned, the 150 parcels that we have floating around that we haven't done anything with.
That's actually part of that whole process of review.
Okay.
Each of the departments have an inventory that they review and go through, and they have been doing this this actually for quite a few years, and we're just narrowing it down, and we'll be presenting some of those again today.
Okay. Thank you.
Before we get off this slide, and the conversation about looking down the road at properties that are not encumbered by debt, you know, is definitely a good idea. Separate from that, though, is the other item up there, and that is grant or other restrictions on property. Something we looked at before, we said if a property has a deed of right or something from acquisition as a grant, that we would take that off the table and that we weren't going to revisit those. I just want to make sure that that's okay, or that we're getting clear direction from the board. An example for Pat and I would be a conservation property that we got with RCO money, and we don't really want to keep going back to those. We kind of want to move on. So is that accurate?
I think what you're saying is, do we spend time on the no-brainer ones that obviously should not be on the table? I think we're all on the same page there.
I guess, where are we now? Would be the next step. I will start with the treasurer's office, and we have sold three properties in foreclosure this year. Basically, I think we got about $111,000 for it, and there's about $88,000 against it. So the districts receive their tax money, and the county received their expenses that were incurred to foreclose, and the remainder went back to the owners of the property. Currently, there are 88 properties on that list, and again, that just goes up for sale. We utilize Public Works Real Property Group, and they do an excellent job, and we just go with them. And again, they have to have a bid equal to what's owed against them. Which includes our costs. Yes, sir.
Of the 88 pieces of property, what is the time frame for liquidating them? How soon do they go up for auction?
Well, after they're foreclosed on.
So they're not foreclosed on yet?
Oh, no. These are foreclosed on.
So you have 88 that are foreclosed on. So when do they go up for bid or for auction? Or?
About twice a year, usually.
Within the year?
Yes.
Okay. So do we usually have about that many in the cycle?
Well, some of those are quite old. And
recently we just didn't...
Well, we did not receive a bid that covered what was owed against them.
Those 88 properties that you have there, they don't include little slivers of property in between houses or down alleyways?
I really can't.
In some cases, they do.
Those are some I recall. So,
yeah, they're very constrained properties.
Yeah.
The list, like Larry was saying, many of them are in the 60s, 1960s.
Yeah.
That still they go up for auction, but there's just nobody. The budding property owners are the only ones that would value from it, and they're not interested in maintaining them. A lot of them have some low-lying area which traps water. Those kinds of things. So they just stay on the books, unfortunately, until we can get somebody to give us what we, you know, need in regards to what's owed on the property.
So when we have something like that and it's not buildable, and just a sliver, it becomes a debit instead of an asset.
Correct.
Have we ever tried to give that property away?
In my time being here, I'm not aware that we've done that.
Yeah. I'm picturing in my mind little slivers left over from construction or development or misplots, because a debit is a bad thing to have. And if you give it away, then we don't have to be responsible for it. And that maintenance costs us money. So,
well, that's definitely something we can look at.
John, you want to speak into the microphone?
We got a chair for you.
I'm not certain that you could just give it away. I think you'd have to take it to court and have a judge do away with those taxes that are on there, because you'd be giving away other people's taxes. So a judge would have to determine that the property wasn't sellable and all that. So, okay.
Which, right, Don Ben here said that, yep, which could be done. So the question is, certainly, well, let me back up. There is a potential process that we could use to take some of these old liabilities and take them out of the liability column and put them, transfer them to a trust or to some entity out there, so that at least they wouldn't be a negative asset for us, or a negative source of liability for us, right?
I really don't know the legal answer to that. I think we'd have to have legal involved in that. Who would own the trust?
Well, no, I mean, for instance, there are existing trusts out there. You got Vancouver Land Trust, and for instance, it might be a property that would be of environmental, it would be better cared for by those that are specializing in caring for the environment, for instance.
Yeah, really?
So there are existing, so in other words, what entities out there may be interested to at least transfer, which is a negative to us, that could potentially be a positive to them?
I think that's something we could explore, but again, if it's a liability to us, we're just transferring the liability to somebody else.
Well, we could a lot of these properties, for instance, Vancouver Trust, they would be a liability in many people's and in many organizations' book, but they accept them and they count them as an asset, and they care for that asset, and they receive funds to care for that, and in their eyes, it is an asset. So it's an asset in the right hands, it's a liability in the wrong hands.
Right. We can explore that.
I think.
I don't think there's going to be a lot of movement on that, though, to be honest.
Well, I think that what you're talking about is not what I'm imagining in my mind. We have a lot of slivers. In some cases, a few years back, we found a parcel that was bought for potential road construction. In the meantime, the neighborhood grew up, and we got complaints that this half-block-long area was full of weeds and junk, and come to find out it belonged to us.
In those instances, if they belong to the road fund and the road fund wants to look at that, that's probably a doable thing, because there probably is no taxes owing on that. But where there are slivers that there are taxes owing, which is the tax title properties,
mm-hmm.
we'd have to go through the process of getting a judge to say they're not collectible and you can take them off the roll.
Okay. I'm also recall seeing areas like 20 foot wide and 100 foot long, something like that, that we could probably offer to the adjoining properties for a dollar.
Again, if they're not got taxes on them, we can do that. But if they have taxes on them, we can't do that unless a judge says they're uncollectible.
Well, I guess, yeah, that'd be something we have to do. In other words, it's just a liability that we're stuck with and the maintenance of that. Okay. Thank you. Don't go too far.
And next way. We're done with the treasurer's office. And Public Works. Again, Public Works has 220 parcels which includes all the operations building and such. There were 14 parcels reviewed and kept. There are three parcels under review, which are currently leased, and the lease expires this year. There are six parcels that are scheduled for sale. They could be for sale in November. And currently the hours required to review this of what's outstanding is about 60, and we've spent about 232 to date.
And actually add to that list, we just this morning had, we'd had sales agreements on two parcels that were potential roadways that have been sitting and not being actively pursued for design for the city of Vancouver, that we're going to go ahead and accept those sales agreements. So those two are going to now come back into you know, we're going to sell those properties. We've been holding on to those for a number of years, but there's just been no movement as far as the roadway going through, so we decided to go ahead and sell those. There's development around there already, a lot of multifamily developments, and these properties would assist in developing those areas.
I'm a little surprised at the amount of hours that has been spent analyzing the parcels that we have. I don't understand why it's taken so long.
Well, mainly it's researching all the way back to the ownerships and how we acquired them. And there's a lot of properties that were purchased under certain conditions that we can and we can't sell them because of grants and those kinds of things. And there's just a lot of background that has to be uncovered before we just throw them on the list and say we want to put these to auction. It just takes a lot of research. We want to make sure we don't overstep our bounds. A lot of our properties that we look at, probably close to 20% are turnbacks on I-205 and I-5, mm-hmm. that it would not benefit the county. We would just be giving property back to them. And we've talked to WSDOT in those regards, and they're not really interested in doing that process. Mm-hmm. So we're holding on to properties that are sitting at the interchanges on I-205 and I-5 pretty much all along the whole corridor.
Could I see some some examples of that? Because I can't imagine that we're just stuck with a piece of property that we can't liquidate, sell, or give back. Or
sure.
I'm looking at removing a liability and the amount of maintenance that we do on a yearly basis to these parcels of land. I just can't imagine that we can't go to a file and pull up a file and it's all right there. We look at it and...
Okay, I can get you a list of all those parcels.
Thank you.
I'm looking at that last bullet point. Hours expended today, 232 hours, and I'm glad that we have real properties here in that we have the opportunity to evaluate this. All of those hours that have been expended and also the hours that we are looking forward to make progress on this results in something that it would be very helpful if we were to provide a high visibility list. I love grids, and I can imagine mm-hmm. a grid for this category of property, that these are kind of properties, for instance, that are unwanted, they're leftover remnants from right-of-way adjacent areas or those kind of things. Who would want that, those kind of properties? That would all go on one list. So we take it off the list for all of the master list, take that, put that in there. You got another one that potentially would be properties that somehow, if we could find a legal way to sell them, that would provide a cash injection, a return of capital dollars back to the taxpayers, put them back on the tax rolls. But there's some process that needs to happen. They could go on to another list. What we're looking at really is properties that are opportunities at a glance that would help us to know what can we act on. And certainly the sorting out process is really what we're looking at here. I want to make sure that your department and your tools, that you're equipped for success. You're equipped with the right tools to make it not only easy and obvious and organized for public works to be able to sort these things out and see them very visibly, but the rest of us can see them also. So much of what is the outcome from this is not necessarily just simply a direction of what properties do we address, but really what kind of a organization method do we have that would help us to be able to really act in a way that's most efficient, most obvious, and create the to-do list that can be acted upon for the future. So with that, my intention, I get real motivated when I hear problems, because my problem solving core comes up and says, I want to solve this and that. And it's like, if at this point we know there's a garage, there's supposed to be shelves in the garage to organize things, but none of us can see inside that garage right now. It would be good if we could all take a look and say, yep, you have shelves, which are the grids and the tables that sort things out, and the visibility helps us all to make wiser, more informed choices and be able to see opportunities.
Absolutely.
Great.
Well, one other request. I'd like to see the 14 parcels and the 3 parcels that was reviewed and then kept and then still under lease.
I have a spreadsheet right here.
Oh, okay. I would like to have more information. I'd like to see what kind of a history that we are curtailed with, and why we decide to keep certain parcels.
Right. Yeah, I can give you a copy of this, and I can give you some more background information on it. Most of these properties that we reviewed and kept were operations properties, whether or not they had been, you know, actively using them,
mm-hmm.
and for whether they were storing spores or whatever they were spoils on them or whatever they were doing. And they came back, and I let them make their decision on whether they felt they had to have that for, like, weekend work where they couldn't get to other pits and things that weren't open to them. So most of those are those. You know, one, for example, is the Miller Paint Building that's sitting on Northeast 20th Avenue
mm-hmm.
that's still being utilized for the skip project. That's another one that we looked at the time to see if we could get it on the market as soon as they were, but they still need it for a little bit.
What is the skip program?
The Salmon Creek, the overpass on 139th.
Oh.
That whole big project. The Miller Paint Building is now being utilized by WashDOT. And we were going to try and get it in our November auction, but yet it's still being utilized. So we look at that as soon as we can. We have a potential buyer for that, so that's the reason we're trying to get that cleaned up and get it on the market so that
Those are kind of like, I'd be interested in understanding what we're doing with that, because my next question would be, when do we put it on the market so that we know that there's a piece of property is being kept at this time, but it's due to be liquidated when the project is done.
Yeah. Okay. No problem. I can add more detail to these lists.
All right.
Briefly, I can say that the 3 properties that we list up there that are under review for leases, their leases are going to expire. These are the Grace Ministries homes that we call Mercy Houses.
Mm-hmm.
Their aggregate amount is about worth, appraisal-wise, is about $610,000.
Mm-hmm.
We've decided that we are going to go ahead and put those up for sale also. So we're talking with the organization saying that we need to get these back on the market and make them viable tax-paying situations for
everyone. That helps me understand that better.
Okay. I know it's hard when you just have a spreadsheet and it says this, and it just says Grace Ministries or whatever the leases are. Yeah, there's a lot more detail to it that needs to be expounded
on. Why is that paying rent on that Miller building?
No, they're not. It was part of an agreement that we had as far as just having a construction site. A house type of situation.
Their project. So why aren't they paying rent? I don't understand why.
I wasn't available. I can check into that for you at the time when that agreement was forged between WashDOT and the county. But I can surely, Don, check into that for you.
Okay.
Good. Next. County Parks.
Go ahead.
I have to step up for 1 minute, excuse me.
Please.
Close them, Bobby. Go ahead.
All right. This is a good one, though. Reviewed all parcels, and there are 25 parcels available to transfer and 16 to keep.
When we talk about transfer, what's a transfer?
It's a parcel that is actually in the city. Parks would be better off.
So we've had several parcels that probably should have been transferred back in the 90s, and the title was never transferred at the time, and so they were, for the most part, overlooked. And so it's just a matter of cleaning that up. So some of these parcels are just little parcels off the side of a park that we used to have, and of course, when the city annexed those areas back then, they would take over the parks, but there's other adjoining parcels at the time, and as well as park properties that should have been all annexed in and deeds transferred at that time. A lot of them were overlooked, and so we're just trying to clean that up right now.
So part of my concern is when we have parcels that over the years end up in the city,
mm-hmm.
I guess part of the issue would be, how do we acquire that? What do we pay for it? And does it have a use for the city in as far as green space and or parks in the vicinity?
Yes, a lot of the parcels actually are designated as recreation spaces, and so that's what the city would be using them for.
What I recall, though, that their parks in the city are pretty much built out to where they have the number within the areas that they wanted. In other words, they would have developed this long ago if we've had that many years.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to just give them a piece of property. And this is a true benefit to the community, not just an additional postage stamp size park,
mm-hmm.
Where it has a value to the county. So along those lines, we're looking for assets that belong to us that we can liquidate to fill our debts.
Sure, and we're actually looking at that. Some of these parcels actually have been built or developed to a certain degree, you know, like mm-hmm. little properties.
Okay.
Y-Use is another one, you know, and so it does have the ability to be built out into a larger park, if you will. Some of the properties, we will be negotiating a return benefit from the transfer. We talked about one, the R.E. Schaefer property, which is currently in the county right now, but the city desperately wants it for a grant transfer. And so in exchange for that, we would be receiving about $750,000 in PIF funds back.
As long as you're good at bartering, that's important.
And we'd recently done an appraisal on the property, and unfortunately, when we bought the property at $2.8 million, it's now worth $1.8. So it's the city of Vancouver has agreed to give us the remaining amount of funds in PIF, and so we can actually utilize those funds to build Tower Crest.
Good.
So,
good.
So there's a benefit.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Next is General Services property. In April, we looked at the Dolly Building, this five parcels. At that point in time, it basically was decided that it was recommended to leave the Dolly Building as a rental property for now. Continue to fill the building with compatible tenants and maintain the property. And there were no other additional hours required, and there were no other items to be reviewed currently.
On any of these decisions, I always wonder how informed our decisions are. For instance, I imagine a graph of years versus potential lease income, rental income for those years, potential versus actual, for us to be able to understand how well is this working for us in comparison to the private sector, because in this point we become a public sector landlord. So I really want to, do we have that kind of information?
Well, on this particular building, we'll say in 2013, it generated $266,000 of cash. We paid $2.218 million for it back in 1996, and it's roughly a 12% return. We purchased that building in 96 to use as a building where we can put our employees into. Subsequently, we built the PSC building, moved a lot of people out of there and other buildings around, and it's been mostly rented out. And we do have 1,000 square feet or so of budget, where the budget group utilizes that space and such. In April, one of the statements is that we're better off having a building that we can rent out, and then if we need the space for our own employees to be utilized that way. And that's the direction we've pretty much gone since April anyway. Now, over time, that can definitely change, because that particular building is in an excellent location in downtown, and it has a lot of development potential.
Bob.
Oh, Bob.
It's important to
piece or factor to the Dolly Building, and that is that the rents from the Dolly Building are a critical piece of the general fund's contribution to this building. If we were to sell the Dolly Building, the general fund would immediately have to cough up the money to replace those rents in order to fund its share of this building. So until this building is paid for, any other use of the Dolly Building other than to collect the rents to provide general fund its share of this building will require a general fund cost. So you're not going to make anything in the net. You sell the Dolly Building and then you've just put a $260,000 annual burden on the general fund to pay its own rent for the PSC. So it's an integrated piece of the financing for the Public Service Center. The general fund only contributes to the Public Service Center through Dolly Building rents and through parking structure rents. Either of those goes away, and the general fund is going to have to start coughing up real cash out of fund balance. So that I think, is the most important consideration that hit in terms of what do we do with the Dolly Building for the immediate future.
Yeah, another consideration is that the downtown office space occupancy rate currently is about 65%. So there's a glut of space of that type. So to try to market that building at this time, who's going to buy a building and then have it be at 65%? We currently are at 80, so we're doing better than the general market.
Okay, so that's the kind of backup knowledge that helps us to understand the sense of the decision to keep that building. And that would be really good to be able to have those kind of comments in a little inventory list and say, this is why it makes sense for us to keep that building. So when we look at that Dolly Building, we're looking at the general fund. So if we don't have tenants in there, if we have vacancies, that's a hit to the general fund. And so the maximizing of that so we can fill up that building would be a direct contribution to our general fund. Great. Thanks. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Bob.
Lauren, are we doing up?
Okay. Next is environmental services. There's a whole bunch of properties in this one. Parcels.
Yeah.
673 parcels, basically 522 clean water, 151 legacy lands. There are 42 clean water parcels for further review.
When you... on the clean water and 151 parcels as legacy lands, what's the difference? What are the legacy lands being used for?
Yeah, Commissioner, in the last few years, we've gone through the county's inventory as we've reported to you guys and kind of clarified which departments are managing which properties, and we've limited the number of bins, so to speak, of department ownership down to about 13. So the clean water bin has 522 parcels. The legacy lands bin has 151 parcels. Clean water parcels are typically the ones that have stormwater infrastructure on them. And the legacy lands parcels are the natural areas that we've either acquired with grants or through Conservation Futures, or as we discussed in our last work session, subdivision dedications of natural areas. That's what makes up the legacy lands bin.
Okay, that helps.
And then in our review, you know, a lot of what we've discussed today, I think, resonates with us. Pat and I have gone through a process, and as you can see, we've expended a lot of hours. One, we have a lot of property, 673 parcels, but we are setting up through spreadsheets sort of the breadcrumb trail of how we've gone through and sorted those parcels. We set up some decision criteria. I mean, for example, and we talked about this in our last work session on legacy lands, we've said lands that have been donated to the county for conservation purposes are one type of property. We talked to the board about it. We said we think it would be in our best interest to keep those because they were donated for that purpose. And so that's a bin. Lands with grant restrictions, as we've already talked about, and lands dedicated through the subdivision process, we talked about the last work session, and the direction from the board was to keep those. So we can go through those 151 legacy lands parcels and say three that are donated get kept, you know, however many with the grants, those get set aside. And we sort of whittle down, as we discussed before. We're down to, through that sorting process, eight legacy lands parcels that can be further reviewed. And then on the clean water side, you know, we have 522 clean water parcels. Those are pretty time-consuming parcels to look at. The majority of them have stormwater infrastructure on them. There are also some of them have mitigation covenants on them. Some of them have other types of covenants on them. Some have stormwater infrastructure that's not necessarily in an easement because it was being put on land that was going to be donated to the county. So we can't just look for easements. We actually have to look for pipes. And so if we're going to try and take a parcel that has stormwater facility on it that may have some unutilized land on it, we need to look at that unutilized land for any sort of other encumbrance that may need an easement that would have to go with it if we create a private parcel and try and sell it. And we have to make sure that any parcel that we create is a conforming land use with the surrounding neighborhood. And that's pretty hard to do, to get a parcel that conforms. Most of what we're finding are unutilized land within stormwater facility parcels that may be utilized by neighboring property owners if we do boundary line adjustments, or what we have been doing is just private licenses for them to utilize the land. But it's pretty time consuming to go through and do that. I think where we're at right now is we have 42 clean water parcels that we can examine further and see if we can sort of squeeze out some of that land, and then try and find a process to, if we can't create a parcel that we can put out for auction, contact folks. I mean, that's all we can really do is contact neighboring property owners and say, hey, are you interested in acquiring this or something like that. We probably get a couple requests a year for folks to say, you know, hey, can I bump my fence out or bring my boat in through there or something like that. And as long as it doesn't interfere with the function of the facility, we've been typically allowing that to happen through license rather than transferring property to them. But that's where we're at.
On the legacy lands, I mean, on the conservation futures, those purchases, I'm hoping, are the ones that will be future parks or riparian areas and are being utilized for both maybe that and a park open to the public. Of that 151, how many of those were done by grants or donations?
Is that on? Okay. Three donations. I'd have to check, but off the top of my head, I think there was about 60 that have grant restrictions. Was basically say, if you dispose of this property or convert the use, you have to buy a similar property with like values and replace it. So we'll probably lose money on the deal overall. And then there, I think there was about 34 that were just track dedications. So that takes up a majority. There was 54 that you know, we screened in this round to get down to the 8, and you know, there's still some discussion about you know, some of the 8. There's a few of those that are akin to some of the clean water parcels, in that you have some land, you also have some stormwater pipes that go through it, so you'd have to go through a similar process to see if you can cleave off a legally conforming lot that you could then sell. And then there's a few that seem fairly viable that we could look through what sort of process, and it may involve imposing some sort of conservation easement on a portion of the property, but then selling off a portion, well,
yes,
selling off the property with out restrictions so that it could get a buildable lot on it. Then there is four parcels in that group that really, I think, is a policy choice of the board. And that was lands that north of Ridgefield that we bought, 120 acres, for a land exchange for 320 acres surrounding Mud Lake, or Lake Rosanna as it's now called, in North County. At least from my perspective, the long-term value of continuing to hold that land and exchange it for more acreage that would have water access to the lake, etc., would be a reasonable continuing conservation and recreation purpose. But that is clearly, they're not encumbered by grants, so it's clearly a policy call on the board.
The parcel you talked about we traded was that parcel north of Ridgefield that was full of timber.
Yes.
And we traded that for mud flats.
We haven't traded it yet.
It was taking so long. That was
the property owners that we are working with became involved in some litigation with an adjacent property owner, and so they wanted to pull back until that litigation settlement was arrived at. It has been arrived at. Communication with them say they're still interested in the exchange, but they are putting together their land management plan now, so they know how to want to use. I mean, they own a lot of land up there.
That timbered land that we have up there, that was granted to us?
No, we purchased it. It was going to be sold.
Purchased it with Conservation Futures?
Yes, we purchased it totally with Conservation Futures. That's why it's in this unencumbered category.
Okay.
That we, yeah.
Okay. We've got hundreds of hours in creating these lists and sorting out batches. What I'm thinking, what I hope that we can do is, rather than wait for a big batch to be able to consider, that one by one, as you discover low-hanging fruit, and you might find one parcel that is obvious that we have the potential to sell, to act, to do something with that one, to bring that forward and incrementally make progress on those areas that we can. Does that make sense? Can we do that?
Absolutely.
I haven't seen any parcels come through in a while.
The ones that, like I was mentioning up on the Salmon Creek Interchange Project, there were a lot of takes along that area that were left us with real uneconomic remnants, and we've gone to those property owners and say, here's 12,000 or 1,236 square feet. You know, we're going to sell it to you for $4,260, you know. Some have taken us up and some have not. And without there being another abutting property owner because it faces the 139th Street, we're kind of limited in those regards as to who else is going to be interested or how we're going to be able to get that property liquidated so that we can get it back on the tax rolls.
Yes, and I have seen those, and I'm always pleased to see that we're able to put that back into circulation, put it back on the tax rolls, and get some cash out of it, return to the taxpayers. As we consider all these other hundreds of properties, I'm just encouraging it to find those individual opportunities wherever they may be, and bring them forward. It may be that, for instance, there is a property that's, as an example, a 7-acre piece of a property, and it abuts a creek, and you want to be able to make sure that we keep access to that, so that potentially that could be extra conservation area, it could be a trail, but it wouldn't make sense necessarily to have the whole 7 acres tied up because of that one frontage area. In that case, I would encourage you to bring those opportunities forward with the question, shall we divide off that portion, and maybe that's a 1 or 2 acre portion of that property, and the remainder of it can potentially be returned back to the taxpayers.
That's a great example. We're doing that actually on Northeast 47th Avenue right now with one of the property owners, is that we are going to be able to remove the residence that's there, but there's considerable acreage behind it, so we'll do a boundary line adjustment. We're only going to take what we need for the roadway because we have to take a hill out, and then that property is going to be made, you know, brought into the other acreage that's abutting it that he owns also. So trying to keep as much of that in. It's a different concept that's been looked at before. I think that you only get what you have to have as far as the road project itself, and if there's the remainder can be given back to the property owner or kept with the property owner, that's what we're trying to do as much as possible.
In other words, you're already being successful in doing that. This is not something new. This is something that when you do it, it's great. We all win when that happens, and just encourage you to keep that going. That's a good thing.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I know Commissioner Milkey had mentioned 119th Street. We have a couple parcels that are sitting out there right now. the thinking process behind that, just to give you a little bit of that, is that we're going to take 119th Street and take it all the way to SR 503, and we have stormwater requirements that are going to have to be met. So we're holding those parcels until we're sure that we don't have to go what we're going to have to meet as far as our requirements go. And then subsequently, when those requirements are met, those will go up for auction also. It does seem to be a lengthy process because a lot of our road projects takes 2 to 3 years to be built. So we're trying not to sit on anything, but as soon as it's available, we're trying to get it out onto the market.
Right.
Let me ask Pat a quick question and follow up something you said, and that is that if it's restricted by grant, then does the grant not allow
which property?
In any property.
Okay.
And when you talk, you said if there's a grant on it, we can't sell it.
Yep.
We can't sell it and keep the money, but if we deem that it wasn't part of our six-year acquisition, if it didn't fit in anymore to the plan going forward, we could sell it and repay the grant money. Could we not? I mean, if we buy a piece of property for $1 million, we get half of it in grant or 75% of it in grant, we sell it for $2 million, we could pay the grant back. Just because we use grant money to buy a piece of property doesn't mean we could never sell it. Is that correct?
But each of them were required to record a deed of right to the granting agency saying we will not convert it to other uses unless we find a replacement property.
See, that's what I want to follow up on, because you talked about that, replacement property. So is that the only option, is a replacement property?
I believe that is. I mean, I would have to confer more with the granting agencies themselves, but my understanding is certainly that has been their practice. We just went through something on that in the Salmon Creek Greenway Foley Park, where we built, Clark Public Utilities built a pump station. And we had to buy an addition to Foley Park in order to compensate for the loss of that land that was purchased with the grant.
Interesting. So the grant really restricts your future ability to do stuff.
I would also say I think, most of the properties that we picked up have high conservation and potential future recreation value.
No doubt. We probably wouldn't even want to sell any of them. I just want to know if we did, if we were restricted because of the grant. Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Good on that. I guess the next step is, what is it we would like to do going forward? We want to continue this process of every 90 days presenting these properties, or look at another methodology.
What I'd like to be able to see is the visibility of this. In other words, to organize it and present it so we can all see it at a glance. Go ahead. I know that you've got the spreadsheets, that if we ask for them, they're available, but they're not posted. And they're not really necessarily available for us to be able to see at a glance and be able to serve as continuous reminders of what opportunities are there to act upon. So if we're investing the hours to research it, we're putting that research somewhere, and that organization of that research is key. That gives us more return on our investment. All this research is really providing knowledge, facts, organization of data, information that we can act on. I would love to be able to see this laid out so that we have the GIS link, the property tax, the acreage size, the tax ID number, so that you can see it on the map, any source notes that has to do with encumbrances, grants, potential uses for the future, all of that would be great to be able to just simply sort and act on that. That way we can pull out those individual opportunities and do something with them.
I thought it would be more helpful for me if we had a rough view of where it's located on a map, and so we could see if there's no parks around there, can we use that piece of property and put it on the parks list, or something else. It gives us more of a better understanding as we make decisions as to why we're keeping something and why we are going to liquidate something in one area and maybe use that purchase for something else somewhere. So that would help me too.
In other words, I think what that is, what Commissioner Mielke is saying there is that how well integrated is this with our GIS system, so that we can turn on that layer and see where are the other properties that have to do with that would somehow inform us on this decision. Is it a potential piece of is it a park potential, and there's a park right next door, for instance?
No, we would overlap. We'd put the map up there, put the park overlay
layers
there, then put other excess land over that. We could either enlarge parks or build parks, but we don't have parks.
I understand, and I would love to have the same thing. We just haven't got that technology that we're able to do a lot of that with. We can take the maps, and we can put different ownerships on the maps, and we have a book that we keep that has all these parcels in it, and there's a map and a picture. It shows, well, DES is next to Public Works, it's next to Parks, so there's a relationship there. I'll be glad to update our book and let you see our book. As far as going online and putting that together, it's we're going to have some help from GIS and the people that have the electric. Yeah.
Microphone.
Parcel by parcel. I trust these people. If they say a parcel needs to be kept, I accept that. I don't need to see a map myself. You know, he's a professional real estate manager. You know, he's bringing parcels forward for sale as they're available. I think they're doing a great job managing the property, and I'm really reluctant to commit to a project like that because of the amount of time it would take to create it.
Well, that's a significant input. What it means is when we have the technology that would take so much to be able to actually make it so that we can all see it at a glance. If it requires that much investment, then we have to be able to just simply let those that are skilled to do it and equipped to do it with whatever resources you have do your job and do it well. So that trust is there.
Yeah, and we understand that. I think if there's any parcels that you specifically come across or anything like that, I mean, we're more than happy to sit down with you and show you the dynamics of why we kept it or why we're keeping it. That's not a problem at all for us. I would love to be able to have the visibility that the public could have to see all these parcels. But we have given, we put information out every year, and a lot of these parcels are, like I say, they're uneconomic remnants. They have a lot of encumbrance on them, and so people come and they come to the auctions and they look at them, but they're just not willing to take it on if it's not anything that they see a true turnaround as far as an investment on their part. So, but again, we're at any time that you want to see about, and like I say, just talking about the leases and the different things that we're doing, that's not a problem. At any time you feel that way, I'll still be able to put together the book for you and maybe give you a copy so that if there's any parcels you want to thumb through and look at and see what we're talking about. A lot of the parcels that we do have also are at intersections, and they're kind of critical intersections. So there's a triangle there, or there's something that, boy, if we get rid of it and then we have to improve that intersection, it's going to be really costly. Or the upgrading of our traffic signalization programs has become very valuable for us to have those little pieces on those corners so that we can put our infrastructure in and not have to go buy from a commercial property or something. So anyway, like I say, our door is always open, of course, to answering any questions you have. But if you want to see that book, I'll be glad to get it to you, so it's got pictures and relationships. And
well, it sounds like your role, you're already equipped to take a look at this, and you're working on it, and you're bringing forward those opportunities that can be acted upon. In other words, there are eyes on the project, and there are competent, trusted eyes to be able to sort that out and bring it forward. So you have our encouragement to continue that, and the opportunities that you can find. We all win when you do that. So thank you for the good work that you're doing on this, and I just encourage you to keep picking those apples off the tree that are most ripe, ready to be able to act upon.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
So I'd like to tag on to that, too. It's not that we don't trust your judgment. It's just that we're trying to do different policy. And so we want to make best use of what we have. I think in the past that we had a tendency, in fact, 4 or 5 years ago, we didn't know what property we had.
Mm-hmm.
We had people right next office in charge of parcels of land, and they didn't know about each other. We're trying to get a handle on what all we do have, what is available for future use or whatever. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for better use. Dolly Building, we're looking at that right now to fully occupy it because it's better use if it's full. So I think as the message that we give forward is that from what you said, we haven't gone through all of them.
Well, per the original charter, we were just going to take the low-hanging fruit, basically, the parcels that are not encumbered and such. And we've substantially gone through a very high percentage of those now.
Mm-hmm.
So the original project is pretty much wrapped up from this past year's worth of studies. Now, going forward, what would you like for us to do? If it's going to go delve into other areas which have restrictions on them, then we have to relook at that and figure out a new plan for that.
And I guess that would be my message as we go forward is to continue to be aware and keep us informed as what we have, what might be low-hanging fruit, what might fall off the tree completely, what can be used for better use as things change. That helps us make policy and review what we have and better utilize what we have, and that's our goal. Anything else?
Yeah, so we certainly don't want to get to the point where we're directing make-work kind of projects just for this studying for the sake of studying to satisfy us. That wouldn't be productive. We just want to make sure that you're equipped with the freedom and with the time that you need, whatever resources you need, in order to know what we have and look for individual opportunities. And just when you find something, bring it forward and act on it. And whatever investment of time that you're creating, to make sure that you have, if you need some other software tool or some other help. If we somehow are handicapping you because of a lack of investment with GIS resources, help us to understand how to make sure that you're best equipped with the practical tools to make sure that when you do your work, it's something that is very useful.
Okay. Anything else? Anybody? All right. Thank you all very much.
That's
all helpful.
Oh, Commissioner, should we start the next work session, 5-minute break?
Yeah.
Because it was scheduled to start at 10.